Bibles tonight, the book of Philippians, chapter number 2. Book of Philippians, chapter number 2. Pastor read the verse tonight at the beginning of the service, not knowing what my message was. And in fact, I came up to him during handshaking time. I said, "Did you look in my Bible?" And that's just the way the Lord does things. Amen. And it's always wonderful. We always know He's in charge, and certainly He is. But sometimes our lack of submission and yieldedness precludes Him from having His way. And boy, that happens in our life sometimes, doesn't it? Isn't it amazing to know and to think about that finite, puny beings such as us can hinder and stop the hand of God? Can that? Certainly we can. You know the story in the gospel. I think it's the gospel of Mark chapter 10 or chapter 8 there, where the Bible says, "And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." So indeed, we can stop the mighty hand of God, and certainly we don't want to do that tonight. Amen. And boy, it's a wonderful thing to hear from Brother Mitchell and that testimony. That's the first time I've seen that video, Brother Mitchell. And man, what a blessing. And I thought back years and years ago about when my own dad first got into the bus ministry at Faith Baptist Church in Pekin, Illinois. And that was that day. Some of you have listened to the CD and heard where my dad said that he came home and sat us kids down and said, "I want you to know from this day on, we're going to serve the Lord." And the reason that he made that proclamation was because he had surrendered to the bus ministry. Amen. The bus ministry made that impact upon his heart. And I remember from that day forward going out every Saturday with my dad going out. Well, I didn't get to go out every Saturday. We all actually had to take turns. And my dad ran a bus route in Creve Coeur, Illinois, just north of Pekin, south of Peoria. Pekin was our hometown where we grew up. And then he went away to Bible college. And my mother ran a bus route just off of Perry Street there in what's called, used to be called Seminary Heights there. And a lot of the Bible college students of Midwestern lived there. And I would get on the bus route with my mother. And my mother would take off and go out on those bus routes. Those were the days when Emmanuel ran 66 bus routes. 66 bus routes. And my dad was the assistant bus director under Brother Ken Fraley. And my mother went out and ran the bus route. And I remember she would get out, get off that bus, go into homes. She'd just walk right in the house, go and help kids get kids ready. She'd wave the bus driver on. He'd go around, pick up somebody else. They'd come back around. Mom would come out of the house, out of those duplexes with four and five and six kids. And, boy, I'll tell you, I'll never forget those days. Those buses, 66-passenger buses filled with 80 and 90 children. And, man, it was just, I just had a heyday. I mean, it was just a, it was a great thing to experience as a 8, 9, 10-year-old kid. Just a wonderful, wonderful thing. And we've believed in the bus ministry ever since. Can I just challenge you about this? I know what time it is. And I know Pastor said it's Friday night. We can be here till midnight, and that's okay. I think he said that. No. But I know what time it is, and I do have a challenge for you tonight that I want to share from the Bible. But on the other hand, I've told the Lord I just want to be submitted. I want to be surrendered, submitted to the Holy Ghost. Sometimes preachers, you know, and I don't say this to evoke your pity or your feelings in any way, but if you had any idea how much time, hours, your pastor spends on one message, the hours, if a man does right, if he's going to make full use of his ministry, it's hours and hours and hours, isn't it, Pastor? Yeah. And boy, sometimes it's you get up and you get ready to preach and you've poured over a message and you've spent the time in it. And then God says, "No, you're doing this." Oh, man, it's just in your humanity. You're like, "But Lord, I've invested so much and it's so wonderful and it's such a great symbol of impeccable oration." You've got to do what God says. And I really, I'm up here stammering. I have a message for you, but I want to follow the Lord's direction. But I want to challenge you about this. Pastor Jay was my youth pastor for a number of years, and faithful man. I'm so glad you're here. And his little daughter, Jalen. And man, he has a wonderful family. His wife, Lynette, and a little boy, Hunter. And he's pastoring 2 years now over at Maple Grove Baptist Church in Lansing. And was it 3 years ago or four that Jay and Virginia surrendered the bus ministry at a missions conference? About 4 years ago. And we only had one bus route at the time, and we spent one night focusing on the bus ministry as a missionary. You say, really? The bus ministry is a missionary? Absolutely. The bus ministry is a type of missionary. There's no question about it. And so on Saturday night, we focused on the bus ministry, and we had a video that we got from Brother Treber, and we had testimonies. In fact, I had a missionary. His name's Brother Herschel Case. He's been a missionary for decades to the country of Australia. Brother Herschel Case was saved. You ever met Brother Case? Saved off the bus ministry, First Baptist Church of Milford, and under Dr. Keene, and had him give his testimony. And my challenge was to the church family. I said, folks, there's a town just north of us in Bel Air, and Bel Air has no gospel witness there. There's churches there, but there's just no gospel witness. It's the capital of our county seat, and no gospel witness there. No independent fundamental Baptist church in Bel Air. Just 7-8 miles, I said, north, but it's south of us. Boy, God burdened my heart about that town. And I just simply said this. I said, folks, we need somebody to surrender to run a bus route there. At the time, we didn't have a bus or any of those things, and well, we just began to pray, and God burdened the heart of a young couple in our church, Jason and Virginia Bunning. And during missions conference, they surrendered their lives. They came forward, surrendered their lives to the bus ministry. And I can't tell you how many kids, how many families have been saved off that Bel Air bus route. And just and it continues to run, and we just continue to see people saved off of it. And I'll never forget the first little child that got saved off the Bel Air bus route. Man, I just got up and blubbering and, you know, blowing snot and just, I mean, all over the pulpit. And I said that little boy would still be on his way to hell if it hadn't been for two people who just said, you know what, I'm going to sacrifice my Saturdays. I'm going to go ahead and give up my comfort. I'm going to give up some things so that I can reach people with the gospel. Amen. And every Saturday in the world, Jason and Virginia Bunning are in the church Saturday morning for a bus meeting. And they go out. They got two sweet little girls. I mean, they're just the sweetest little girls. And they both of them come out. They bring their two little daughters out. Every Saturday morning of the world, they're out calling on that Bel Air bus route, running that Bel Air bus route. And I'll never forget, we started a third route, and so I said, Brother Jay, I said, I'm going to have to take your van. I said, I need you to get a CDL. And his bus route had grown. He needed to have more room, and I said, we're going to use the van for another route. And, well, I'll never forget, Pastor, a couple of my deacons, they, you know, Pastor, are you sure about this? Man, we're starting another route, and, well, I'll tell you, it's expensive. It is expensive. And I believe in the bus ministry. And church, I just want to. God burned my heart about this, and I prayed about it, and I said, Lord, I don't want to take liberties that don't belong to me as a guest preacher, but could I just throw this challenge out to you? What about you? What about you? Maybe God would call you to the bus ministry. Say, well, we don't have a bus, and Pastor does. You know, maybe we don't have a second bus or a third. I want to double dog dare you. That if you came to this man of God and said, Pastor, God has burdened my heart for the bus ministry. You don't think this church would say, hey, let's get a bus. Let's find a place to run it. Do you suppose there's more kids in Jackson you could reach?
Yes.
Nah. Probably getting them all, right, Brother Jim? No, there's more you can reach, aren't there? I just want to challenge you about that. Philippians chapter 2, and just a thought tonight for you, a thought that I want us all to take home tonight and muse it over on Saturday and let it impact our hearts. Certainly, all the things that we've heard this week from our missionaries, and we're just, spiritually, I just feel like I've been at, a buffet, and I'm just so filled. Don't you feel that way? Man, I'm telling you, there's so much that God has done in my heart this week. And I want you to notice Philippians chapter 2, verse number 1. I'm privileged to have my dad's Bible. And my dad, I gave him this Bible, and I have to be careful with it. I actually don't read out of this Bible. I don't study out of it just because I'm trying to preserve it, but I preach out of it every time I preach. And I'll tell you, the book of Philippians is, you got this here, and you can see the pages. It's probably the most marked up and the most tattered of my dad's Bible. He loved the book of Philippians, taught a college class out of it. Pastor was just referring to that, and it was it's a precious book of the Bible, isn't it? Philippians chapter 2, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same mind, being of one accord and of one mind. Pardon me, I said having the same mind. Let me reread that. Having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Now we all know as we read verse 2 that there's just no way that all of us are going to be the same. And thank God for that. Amen. We also all know that there's really, really no way that all of us are always going to think alike. Say amen right there. I've been married 25, soon to be 26 years, and man, have I figured that out. We don't think alike. Amen? And I'm glad we don't. I wouldn't want to be married to a woman that thinks like a man.
Amen.
I mean it. I wouldn't, and by the way, I find it somewhat repugnant and repulsive when a man thinks like a woman.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Come on, fellas, it's preaching time, amen? I feel a little bit uncomfortable. A man talks like a woman, acts like a woman, dresses like a woman, smells like a woman. It's not that a woman's a bad thing, because the Bible says that a man finds one, he's found a good thing, amen, and obtained favor from the Lord. But goodness, when a man acts like a woman, it's disgusting. Can I just said that, didn't I? It's disgusting. Be a man, amen. Smell like a man, act like a man, walk like a man, talk like a man, look like a man. Be a man.
Amen.
Be a man. The world is bereft of men today. Homes are bereft of men today. I think, listen, I better not say that. Yes, Holy Spirit of God, all right. No, I mean it, folks. Listen, we need men to lead our homes. We need men today so badly. But the Bible tells us, the same love, being of one accord. That's the first mention of a car in the Bible, by the way. Amen. Of one mind. Of one mind. How in the world can we possibly be of one mind? How is that possible? How could that be? I'll never forget one time years ago, and don't get upset about this, all right? But when all stuff was going on, people were attacking Brother Hiles and all that stuff, and I remember going into the chapel building in Midwestern, and these guys were handing out these big buttons. I mean, big buttons. And on the buttons it said 100% Hiles. And I was oblivious to what was going on. I really had no idea about any of it. I just want to say this. I love Brother Hiles. And, so they're handing these buttons out, and he says, here, put this on. I was going to a fundamentalist conference is what it was called. And I said, well, why? And he said, well, don't you love Brother Hiles? I said, well, that's why I'm here, to hear him preach, Einstein, you know. And he said, well, then put this button on. I said, man, I'm not 100% anybody. I said, I'm not 100% myself, so I sure ain't going to be 100% Hiles. And then I got really super spiritual. I said, if you got a 100% Jesus button, I'll wear it. Because I don't agree with anybody all the time, and I don't agree with myself all the time. Are you with me? How can we have one mind? Well, it's by having the mind of Christ. It's the mind of Christ. Isn't it important, gentlemen, that sometimes we stop and maybe just step back and think to ourselves that maybe, fellas, are you with me? Maybe I don't always think the right way. Is that possible? Well, not only is it possible, it's probable. It's highly likely that we don't always think the right way all the time. Well, I'm 80 years old and I'm, you know, it's the way I've always think. Dear sir, with all due respect to you and your age and your experience, and I'm nobody to correct you or tell you, but as a preacher of the Word of God, it's my duty to tell you, regardless of your age, you don't always think right. You don't, and they neither do I. Well, this is just the way I've always been. Well, you might very well always have been wrong. Because our minds are not always right. Our minds are corrupt. Our minds are, they are corrupt in their core. Our minds in their very core, in their very nature, are reprobate and depraved and wrong. And if we don't have the mind of Christ, you will always think wrong. Always. You will always think in a messed up fashion. My dad used to preach a message. I've looked all around and through all of his files to find it. He called it stinking thinking. Stinking thinking. Anybody in here have stinking thinking sometime? Just me and about maybe 10 or 15 others. The rest of you, I know you'll be at the altar tonight for lying. The illustration, the story is told about a captain of a ship. You've heard this, no doubt, I'm sure. But I love this story. I don't know if it's true or not, but man, how it evokes a visual lesson for us. The captain of a ship looked into the dark night and saw faint lights in the distance. Immediately he told his signalman to send a message, alter your course 10 degrees to the south. Promptly a return message was received, alter your course 10 degrees to the north. The captain was angered, irritated. His command had been ignored, so he sent a second message. Alter your course 10 degrees to the south. I am the captain. Soon another message was received. Alter your course 10 degrees to the north. I am a seaman, third class. That's lower than a captain, by the way. Immediately, the captain sent a message, knowing the fear it would evoke. Seaman, alter your course 10 degrees to the south. I am a battleship and I will fire on you. They waited. Then the reply came, alter your course 10 degrees to the north, sir. I am a lighthouse and you will surely crash. We live in a world today, and we live in a brand of Christianity today where some people would rather be shipwrecked than submit. They'd rather wreck and ruin their lives than submit.
Yes.
Submission, an important thing, and absolutely vital to this church reaching its fullest potential this year in the matter of missions.
Right.
Submission is absolutely essential if this church is going to reach the... Do you know God has in His heart and mind where He wants to raise this church to? He does. He does. And you know, I'll be honest with you. Every year, Pastor, I pray and I say, God, put on my heart what the vision is. God, fill my heart. God, show me what you want, where you want us to go. And you know, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I feel like probably God wants us to go as a church higher and further than really what I have the faith to do as a pastor. And then I'll maybe present the burden to the folks. Last year, our burden was, I said, folks, I want to challenge every person to increase their faith promise 10%. And then, not only do I want to challenge everyone to increase their faith promise 10%, I want to challenge 10 people who haven't been involved to get involved with just $5 a week. And if 10 people will get involved with just $5 a week who haven't been involved before, then that will enable us to take on a total of 7 brand new missionaries. Now, that's not for every person to increase their faith promise giving 10%. Is that do you think that's an enormous goal? Is that inordinate? Is that unreasonable? I mean, do you think it is? I didn't think it was, but you know what? Boy, I thought, man, I'm really proud of myself. That's a really nice goal. But you know what I believe? I believe God's goals are even higher.
Yes.
I believe God's dreams are even bigger.
Yes.
I really do.
Yeah.
You know, the verse is still in the Bible, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee Achievable, reachable goals that you think you can make. Is that what God says? No, he says, call unto me and I will answer thee. My mother used to call it God's phone number. I'd complain to my mom or I'd say this and she'd say, well, just dial the Lord's phone number, Jeremiah 33:3, and she'd take her hand, she'd do that, you know. My love, godly mother that I had. Call unto me, say it with me. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not. Well, you got a goal. Great. Pastor, I'm sure you have a burden on your heart. You know, we as pastors, we have to be men of vision. We do. We have to be men of vision, Pastor Jay. We've got to be men of vision. Brother Hernandez, we've got to be men of vision. And it's got to be godly vision. But you know, I've learned over the years and I'm still learning that I believe that probably every vision that I have, yes, I believe it's of God, but I believe that God's visions and God's goals and God's design is far greater than the minuscule, faithless, or little faith visions that I have. I believe God has bigger plans. I really do. I believe we serve a great God. And I believe we serve a God with big plans and big ideas. You believe that tonight? I believe it. And if we're going to get involved in God's plan, if this church is going to raise to the level, you say, well, why should that be? Well, I'm going to show you that in just a minute in the scripture, and I know what time it is, and you pray for me. I mean that. I'm not just saying that to be cute. I want to be as long as God wants me to be. I want to be as long and as brief as the pastor's leadership tells me, but I want to obey the Lord. I don't, with all my heart, I don't want to be abusive of your time. I really don't. I'm so glad you're here. But the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. You know, submission. That's the mind of Christ, isn't it? Yeah. Submission. Yeah. You see the verse there. The Bible says, let this mind be in you. Well, verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this, church, mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You see, if we're going to have the mind of Christ, we're going to have a submitted servant's mind. I'm putting 2 points there together, and I'm going to jumble them all up together. I wanted to spend a lot of time on the submitted mind, and I wanted to spend a lot of time on the servant's mind, but I'm just going to put them in the same bowl and mix them all together. And listen, the submitted servant's mind, man, it's so important, isn't it?
Yes.
I thank God for people at Bible Baptist Church that if I say, boy, we need something done, I thank God for people who just step right up and say, I'll do it.
Amen.
Thank God for that. I mean, thank the Lord for people like that. And I've no doubt there are people like that in Loomis Park Baptist Church. I've no doubt there's a host of people like that. Amen? Sure there are. What about you? How about you? Do you have that submitted servant's mind? That submitted servant's mind. You see, Jesus Christ had a mind of submission and servant's heart. He was submitted, first of all, to his Father, and he made himself servant to man. That's an amazing thing that the King of Glory, the Creator of the worlds, the one who spoke the sun into its orbit. Amen? The one who spoke the stars into space. The one who spoke the worlds into existence. He was submitted and he had a servant's heart. A servant to others. The Bible says, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Can I ask you this question? What job in Loomis Park Baptist Church have you gotten too big for? Well, I'm not going to pick up those candy wrappers. I don't know. Do you have somebody that you're paid to clean the church? Or I'm not going to pick up those candy wrappers. That's Sister So-and-so's job. She's paid for it. Let her do it.
Come on, preacher.
That's so godless.
Yes.
That's such a godless attitude. Come on. I'm not trying to be unkind, but help me preach. That's such a godless attitude.
Amen.
That's so carnal. Amen. Oh, man, help us all. God, help us all to take ownership of this. Huh? I'm not saying that we own it, but you know, a steward that fully fulfills his duty, his or her responsibility, his or her role, that's what they do. They take ownership of what they are called to be a steward of. What job in Loomis Park Baptist Church have you gotten too big for? When was the last time you cleaned a toilet or vacuumed for Jesus? Huh? I'll never forget, my dad pastored a little bitty church in LaGrange, Indiana. And under the platform was the baptistry. And the platform, I mean, just a church, I mean, it seated probably 120, 130 people. And we didn't have room for a baptistry, so there was this big door that you'd have to lift up. And that the baptistry was set down inside. You'd walk in the kitchen and the ceiling of the kitchen would be right here. And, you know, I mean, it's just the way it was. And so that baptistry, the door would have to be closed, obviously, for church. And so that thing would just get full of all kinds of muck and filth and all kinds of nastiness. And you know whose job it was to paint it? And as a teenage boy, I'd be down inside that thing and I'd have to paint myself into a corner. I'd have to paint it with oil-based paint, you know, really stinky. And my dad would walk into the back of the auditorium. He'd open the door and he'd say, "Russell Galen!" I'd look up over out of the platform, you know, my head would come up off out of the floor of the platform. And I'd say, "Yes, sir." And he'd say, "Who are you doing that for?" Sometimes I'd want to say, "Well, Dad, I'm doing it because you told me I had to." And in all honesty, sometimes I was doing it for my dad. But sometimes I did it for Jesus. Boy, when I did it for Jesus, man, I enjoyed it so much more. It just seemed like when I do it for Jesus, I'd have an easier time singing songs while I was doing it, you know. And I'd have an easier time just enjoying it. Seemed like it'd go faster. Seemed like I did a whole lot better job. Amen. When I did it for Jesus. A submitted servant's heart. Listen as our Lord speaks to this subject. But it's chapter 20 of Matthew. I was going to have you go there, but boy, I'm so out of time. "But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister." I don't want to sound like I'm, you know, a Mr. Know-it-all or like I'm, you know, preaching down to my fellow preacher brethren, you know, fellows, it always bothers me, fellow preachers, it always bothers me when I see preachers acting like, you know, everybody's got to serve me. Pastor Jay was in my ministry for 5 years, and he started off in the ministry with me, and boy, we've had these discussions, haven't we, brother? And I'm hammering these things on my son now as I'm training him and preparing him to go start a church somewhere. And God help us never to forget that we're not to be served.
That's right.
Fellow preachers,
amen.
We're not to be served.
Yes.
We've been called to minister.
Yes.
We've been called to serve people, not to people to serve us. I'll never forget, Pastor Jay and I went to a conference somewhere, and you know, everybody's waiting on the preachers and all this stuff, and we have a tent meeting every year, and you remember this, you asked me, you said, "Pastor, are you going to have people wait on us like this?" He was being facetious and sarcastic. And I said, "Brother, it ain't ever going to happen."
Amen.
And I said, "You and I are going to be the last ones in line when we go through the food line. We're going to be the ones helping people. We're not going to be the ones being served and waited on. We're going to be serving and waiting on." And that's called servant leadership. I'm going to tell you, it's a lost art in pulpits today, Pastor. And I'm not preaching to your pastor because I know that he's that kind of man. I know that's why I have liberty to say this here, because I know that that's the kind of example he gives to you, because he learned that example from his pastor. Amen. Servant leadership. You know, Jesus is saying to us, let me read on Matthew 20, "And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister." Listen, if Jesus Christ, the King of glory, the one who one day is going to come from heaven, he's going to have on his vesture and upon his thigh written King of Kings and Lord of Lords, if he could put upon himself the towel of service, then bless your heart, big boy, so can you! So can you. "Well, but I'm the longest standing member of Loomis Park Baptist Church." Then you ought to have the towel of service wrapped even tighter.
That's right.
Amen. That's good preaching, Brother Tharp.
Amen.
You ought to have that towel of service donned on you even more than anyone else. Because
right.
You ought to be the one who knows better. Serving,
yeah.
Being submitted. The mind of Christ is a submissive, submitted, serving mind. The mind of Christ is a sacrificial mind, isn't it? It's a sacrificial mind. Go with me to 2 Corinthians, please, and then we're done. Boy, if you had only any idea, as Dr. Malone would say, if you have any idea how many boxcars I pulled out of this train, I mean, it's just... there's boxcars laying all over the yard right now, but I'm putting on the last boxcar and then the caboose, as Dr. Malone would say. But look at chapter 8 with me. You see, here is the, you say, what does submission have to do with missions? It has a lot to do with missions. It has everything to do with missions. Everything. Submission. Dear church family, we're not going to allow God to raise us to the level He wants. How many of you love mediocrity? How many of us love just being in the same mode, the same level all the time? Some people enjoy that kind of lifestyle, but I want to tell you, I don't. My dad used to say, a rut is just a grave with both ends knocked out. Man, you know, go ahead and laugh right there. You'll enjoy it. You'll enjoy it. Some of us are in a rut.
Yeah.
I want to tell you something. It's not my job. It's really not even your pastor's job to get you out of that rut. But I sure know somebody who's well capable to do it.
Yeah.
He's well capable, isn't he?
Yes.
I want to tell you, listen, it'd be a whole lot better if you and I would just kind of get ourselves up out of that rut and say, God, take me to the next level you want me to get to for your glory and honor. I'm submitted. I'm yielded. I'm ready to go. Lord God in heaven, I don't want to stay this way anymore. God, raise me to that next level you want me to get to in missions and in sacrifice and in submission, because Lord, I know that that's the only way I'm going to please you. You either do that of a willing mind or God will do it for you. See, notice that in chapter 8, verse 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. Let's skip forward for time's sake and notice this, verse number 5, and this they did. What did they do? Well, they gave. They gave money. That's what this chapter's about, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's about money. And they gave. They gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Notice the Bible tells us that, let me find the verse here, verse number 12. For if there be first a willing mind, how do we get that? How on earth can I have that? It is the mind of Christ.
Yes.
Did Christ have a willing mind, church? Did Christ had a willing mind? You think about what the lovely Lord Jesus did for your sake and for mine. Notice that. That's why Paul, he makes the plea for giving. Boy, I wanted to teach this verse by verse, but I believe we're doing what God wants us to do tonight. And I believe you already are getting it and going to get it. But notice this. He says, he's telling us, I want you to give. He says, I want you to give and not just give. But Paul is teaching us, I want you to give and give more than you gave last year. That's in the scripture there. I don't have time to show it to you, but that's there in the book. He's saying not only you're supposed to give, but you're supposed to give and give more than you gave last year. And he says this. He says, you first need to have a willing mind. You need to be willing of yourselves. That's submission.
Amen?
Amen? That's submission. That's submission defined. And then he says, not only did they give, verse number 5, but they first gave of their own selves to the Lord. Insomuch, verse 6, that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence in your love to us, see that ye abound. What's that word mean? That word means that you are generous. That's what the word abound means. That see that ye abound in this grace also. What grace? This grace of giving. This grace of giving. That's what Paul's talking about. That's what he's talking to the Corinthian church. Now, don't think for a moment that this is talking about the tithe, because, my dear friend, it's not. Paul addresses the tithe back in 1 Corinthians.
Right.
And so he's dealing with the missionary offering here. Faith promise offering, mission covenant offering, I'm gonna help those poor souls offering, whatever you want to call it. But it's God's mission offering. Amen? Now, look at the premise by which Paul makes his plea. He says, verse number 8, I speak not by commandment. Now, some would incorrectly assume that Paul is saying here that he's not commanding this to be done. That's not the case. Paul is saying here, he's saying, my plea to you is, he says, I don't want you to do this because you're commanded to do so.
Yeah.
But he says, I want you to do this because there's something you know about. Notice what he says you ought to know about. Verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you in here have tasted of his matchless grace? Come on, put your hand up, keep it up, would you please? Put your hand up. You've tasted of his matchless grace. You know what that means? That means you've been saved, amen? You've tasted of his grace. So you know what it means to get something you don't deserve. You know what it means to have the mercy of God. You know what it means to have forgiveness. You know what it means to have the unmerited favor of God upon you, because if it wasn't for his grace, you deserve to be in hell tonight. So would I, if it wasn't for his grace. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, here is the ultimate example of submitted servanthood and sacrifice. It's all encapsulated right in this verse. Submission, servanthood, and sacrifice. We see it, don't we? See it in verse number 9, look at it. And this is the very premise of giving. Look at it, please. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might be rich. I preached Monday night to you that the motivation for giving to missions can be none other than love for Jesus Christ. That sounds so simple, but you know what? Yeah, you can give out of duty. You can give because you care about the need. But I want to tell you something. The only thing that's going to keep you giving, the only thing that's going to keep these missionaries on the field, is love for Christ. It's not love for souls. It's not duty. It's love for Christ. That's got to be. And oh, listen, we see nothing other than Christ's love for us in verse 9, don't we? Don't we? Can I ask you tonight, as we think about sacrifice, what, that's a relative word these days, isn't it? Sacrifice. We think of missionaries that sacrifice. And boy, I'll tell you, there are many that do. they sacrifice being away from their families. They sacrifice giving up their homes. They sacrifice giving up the joy and the, you know, the ease and comfort of being able to go home in their home every night and put their lazy boy chair up and ease back and sit and sip their tea or drink their Dunkin' Donuts coffee. Although sometimes I felt like being called to the mission field to go out on deputation so I would have an ability to travel to all the Dunkin' Donuts restaurants in the country. But I haven't quite felt led yet, but... No, they but what really is sacrifice? What is sacrifice? Can I ask you this? I'll never forget one time several years ago, and Pastor Jay, you'll know the guy I'm talking about, one of my deacons, he's got a bunch of dogs, and he's a hunter, and he goes and traps dogs. He's trapped, I mean, animals all up and down this country, I mean, all over the place. He's probably one of the most well-known bear hunters in northern Michigan, and... sweet, wonderful man of God. Precious man of God. I forget one time years ago, probably 5 years ago, I made a statement. I said, you know, God help us. We as Americans, we spend over $50 billion on pets in this country. $50 billion on pets. Now, don't worry. I'm not preaching against Fido or Fluffy the cat, okay? But just stay with me, all right? And so I said from my pulpit, I said, you know, God help us if we're spending more on our animals than we are on missions. Yes. He went home that night, and I didn't know that it hit him like it did, but he went home that night, and he sat down for hours into the night, and he figured out how much he was spending on his dogs. 12 dogs. And he came back, and he said, Pastor, I want you to know, he said, that convicted me. And he said, I don't know what my people give. I don't check the offering reports in my church. I don't do that. It keeps me honest in my pulpit. I don't have to worry. You know, I can just take the gospel gun and boom, 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 boom. I don't have to worry about who I shoot. My dad used to say, you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, the one that yelps is the one that got hit. Huh? You get that? We've thought many times of writing a book of dad's sayings. Well, I'm way out of time, but listen. Don't you think that'd be an important thing to sit down and figure out? Yeah. Can I tell you, church, all I want you to do is I want you to see my zeal for the Lord. But There's two things that I spend more money on per month in my home, only two things, than I do on missions. And that is to pay my house payment and to feed my family. I give more to missions than I pay my electric bill. I give more to missions than I pay for heat. I give more to missions than I pay for gas on my cars. I give more to missions than I pay for my insurance on my cars. I give more to missions than every other expense in my home except for a roof over my family's head and food in their belly. I'm not standing here and saying that to brag to you, but I say that for this reason. I'm still not really sacrificing. I'm still not. God forbid that I would ever pay a cable bill more than what my missions is. But can I tell you if you get mad at me, I'm coming back Sunday to preach. I'll be here Sunday to preach, and then I'll just leave Pastor with the mess, you know. But dear saint of God, if you're spending more for your, I don't know, the average cable bill, I don't know, 100, 120 bucks a month, you know, I don't know. Or maybe your cell phone bill. And yet there are Christians who spend $80, $90, $100, $120 a month for a cable bill, but they're giving $10 a week to missions. Where do we have the mind of Christ? Do we have the mind of Christ? The Holy Spirit of God will answer that question unequivocally in your mind if we'll listen to Him. The answer will deafen you if you listen. When we're spending more for coffee, I order coffee online from Dunkin' Donuts. I mean, there are no Dunkin' Donuts. I'm telling you the truth. I order it online. I get the beans. I have them shipped to my house. I mean, my church people, I tell them, if you buy me anything, buy me a bag of Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's sick. It's sickening. You know what? I sat down one time and figured up what I spend for Dunkin' Donuts coffee. And you know what? 2 years ago, I said, Lord, what I spend for Dunkin' Donuts coffee, if I can't increase my missions at least that much, then I ought to be ashamed of myself. And I'll be honest with you. If I lived around here and there's a Dunkin' Donuts, I mean, I've been down at that Dunkin' Donuts over on 127. I'm not going to tell you how many times I've been over there. It's none of your business. But, man, and by the way, don't misunderstand me. I didn't just increase my missions that much, but I stopped and thought about, man, what do we spend our money for? What do we give it for? Do you know the average person, spends about, I think the average, the number I found was the average person spends $14 a week at fast food places. The average person does. Maybe you don't, but just folks, let's really step back and look at, do I have the mind of Christ when it comes to submitting? Do I have the mind of Christ when it comes to this thing of serving? Do I have the mind of Christ when it comes to this thing of sacrificing? Sacrificing. You might be here tonight and saying, preacher, I just don't have the money to give. What could maybe you give up so you'll have something to give? What could you give up? I believe if you and I will just completely sell out to the Lord and have the mind of Christ, you'd be surprised at what God could do. And what will happen is the Lord of glory, will raise Loomis Park Baptist Church up to a new level. And man, you'll see God do even more amazing things. Father, thank you for this precious